He was anointed. Without the anointing of the Spirit of God, any ministry is a failure. It's only anointed preaching. It's anointed singing. It's anointed praying. It's anointed worship. The anointing destroys the yoke. And all other is only a superficial, light, artificial something compared with that divine unction, that anointing of the Spirit of God. I wish today we'd put an emphasis back on an anointed life, anointed living, anointed worship, anointed singing. Amen. I thank God for that anointing of the Holy Ghost that makes the difference. In 61st chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah spoke of his anointing. I think we need to read the 61st chapter, a few verses. Then we'll read the sermon that Jesus didn't finish. Already 1975 years have elapsed between the comma. Now Jesus finished that sermon in the 4th chapter of Luke at a comma. You never end a sentence in a comma. And so we want to talk about the rest of the sermon he didn't preach in Luke 4. If you have your Bibles, Isaiah 61. Turn to it tonight. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. Oh, hallelujah. Now, no man will have the anointing of God on his life very long that's light on sin. You can't love sin and keep the anointing. Because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee. Hallelujah. Now some of our elders may have not known exactly how to act and may have not been precise and what we call polished now, but they hated sin and preached against sin till God put a seal of anointing that made their ministry outstanding in the field. So let's read it. And the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, comma. And that's where Jesus closed the book in Luke chapter 4. But the rest of that verse says, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that are mourned. And then there's going to, after vengeance, is going to be a restoration of all things. Right. A kingdom on earth. Right. And he said to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, and garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. Let's look at the 4th chapter of Luke just a moment. Quotation. But I think there's a significance here. I want you to notice one little part of this 4th chapter. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus said it. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words, hallelujah, which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? How did this happen? How, what brought this about? Now he opened the book and he finished his sermon after he got back to glory. After his ascension, he took up where the comma was and he gave us the rest of the sermon. Let's read it. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 talks about a book being opened. Luke 4, a book was closed. And let's read Revelation chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you in peace from him which was, which is, which was, and which is to come, from the seven spirits of God which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Amen. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was, which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard a voice behind me, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Oh, I want to talk about the book that was opened. There was a book closed, but a book is opened. Will you stand with us tonight and us ask the anointing of the Spirit upon this gathering tonight? Reba suprem doble sikoplanda pondoreto. Praise the Lamb! Praise the Lamb! Praise the Lamb! Praise the Lamb. Rabadano shireme dolabit thamren samren dobli herevando. We ask for divine unction, divine revelation. Lord, give prophetic utterance tonight. Let the mantle of the Holy Spirit fall fresh upon our lives. Revive, O God, thy work in Zion. Let revival fire burn in every heart tonight. May we catch a glimpse of that glorious hope of the church anew. Speak to every soul and we'll give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which he gave unto his servant John. John said, I was on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John, according to tradition, had been put in a pot of boiling oil. But John had something that wouldn't cook. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad that God has asbestos suits in the fire. He has a tranquilizer for the lion. And he's got a coating that'll make man protected when the devil would like to make a French fry out of him. Hallelujah. He is Lord and glorious Lord and King forever. John said, I was on the isle called Patmos for the testimony of Jesus Christ, and it was Sunday morning. And John forgot to bring his teachers quarterly. If he'd have had his teachers quarterly, he'd have had Sunday school. But John, hallelujah, since John didn't have his teachers quarterly, he decided to have morning worship. Hallelujah. You can't have Sunday school without a teacher's quarterly. So John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. What a camp meeting would break loose in every church if we could just shift out of the carnal and the earthly and the fleshly into that position in the spirit on the Lord's day. Hallelujah. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me. Sounded like the voice of many waters, and I turned and I saw him in all of his glory and his beauty and his majesty, and I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me to touch me and said, John, write what you see. I'm going to give you the rest of my sermon. Hallelujah. The day of vengeance of our God. A sin-loving, pleasure-seeking, indulgent world is ripening to judgment. And this hour tonight, we live in an hour of permissiveness that is ripening to a day of doom and darkness and judgment. Every prophetic voice says, judgment is coming. John, you better write a letter to the churches first before you write that letter. Send the letter over to Ephesus and tell them they've lost their first love, and to repent, and or else I'll come and remove the candlestick out of its place. Write a letter to that little poor church over at Smyrna and tell them, I know you have tribulation, but if you'll be faithful unto death, I'll give you a crown of life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Write a letter over to that church at Pergamos. I know how you're operating, and you've got a seat in that church where the devil sits. Say, amen. I've been in a few churches where he was elected to office. Now shout. Say, amen. I know where the devil's seat is in Pergamos Church. I've noticed. I'm just almost ready to tell you where that church is. I guess I better pass on. You may have your name in for it. Go on, you'll find out. Write a letter to that church at Thyatira and tell that church I've got somewhat against them. They've got Sister Jessie teaching a Sunday school class. And I did hold a meeting in that church. Hallelujah. She teaches to seduce my servants. She doesn't believe anything's wrong. She's living in immoral practice and teaching the same in the church. And then write a letter to that church over at not only at Sardis and tell them they've got Assembly of God on the sign, but they need to take it down. Amen. First Battlegrounds Assembly. Amen. Say amen. They don't. Now, friends, don't misunderstand me. I love Sunday school and thank God for Sunday school. But sign of progress isn't just a gold crown. You've got to have something more than that. And there's some churches don't need a gold crown. They need a purple heart. They've had so many battles. Amen. And so that church of Sardis has a name on the door that says Assemblies of God, but really it's Ichabod Tabernacle. Amen. Write a letter to the Laodicean church. No, let's get that Philadelphia bunch in. That's the folks that's going to heaven. For he told the Philadelphian assembly, I've set before you an open door, and nobody can close it. Mister, a church that walks in brotherly love has a door open. I don't care how the powers of hell come against it.
Woo, hallelujah.
I've no man can shut, and I've shut a door and no man can open. When we walk in the will of God, the gates of hell cannot prevail against his church. Now write that Laodicean bunch. Amen. That's the folks that's got money in the bank. They've got money in savings. They've got wall-to-wall carpet. They've got organs. They've got piano. They've got facilities. They've got suits. They've got a trained choir, but it's dead as a mackerel. Now shout. Amen. Now they're not clear backslid. They still take the evangel. It's a lukewarm church, that in-between bunch. They've got enough religion to keep them from gift religion. They speak in tongues in the prayer room. We're going to have a time here tonight. I feel it coming on. Woo! It's that Laodicean in-between crowd that's the hardest crowd for you to move. Rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. We've got our preacher, our bills are paid. We're ahead of the bowling league. We're I wish you'd shout. We're climbing right on up. Last year our budget showed an increase. Our altar showed a decrease, but why do you care when your budget's going up? Amen. We've just elected Dr. Sounding Brass as our new pastor, and he fits the bill exactly. Hallelujah. He doesn't believe in too much either. And so we don't need anything, preacher. Leave us alone. We'll pay you if you keep your mouth shut. Just leave us alone. Preach on the good. Preach on the good points of Abraham Lincoln one Sunday. Amen. Tell how the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock the next Sunday. I wish you'd feel this in my soul. You see, that church is lukewarm, and heaven said, he said, I can't take that. I will spew thee out of my mouth. The day of vengeance of our God. Judgment will begin at the house of God. And if it begin there, what'll be the end? And so he closes out his seven little letters to the church. I imagine they were welcome. Don't you know when the superintendent read the letter of Laodicea and they all shouted? Have you ever thought how they received those letters? When the pastor stood and read the letter to Thyatira and Sister Jezebel sitting on the second row, and he read it out and said, Sister Jezzy, you'll have to get out. Now, woo, I'm talking about the day of vengeance of our God, the rest of his sermon. Revelation chapter 4. And John said, I looked and I saw a door open in heaven. And about that time I saw 24 elders, and they were around the throne, and they were having praise service. And they were saying, glory and honor and praise and majesty and dominion be unto the Lord God omnipotent that reigneth forever and ever. And a camp meeting broke loose in glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that's not... They tell me the 24 elders represent saints, but that doesn't represent some of the saints I've been preaching to. I like the way you're shouting now.
because they haven't been saying glory and honor and praise and might and dominion be under the Lord God omnipotent, the reign of forever. If you're going to praise him in the courtyard of glory, you're going to need some glory in your soul in the assembly of the upright while you're here. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 5. John said, I got there and I saw him that sat upon the throne, had a book in his right hand sealed with seven seals, and no man was found worthy in heaven or in earth to open the book or loose the seals. And John said, I wept much that no man was found worthy. And about that time, one of the elders touched me and said, John, weep not, we found the answer. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. Oh, and I turned to see him, and there stood up in the midst of the throne as a lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the world. And he took the book out of the right hand of him that liveth forever and ever. Oh, hallelujah. And they broke loose in another camp meeting in heaven. Amen. Amen. Doesn't that wear you out? Amen. What make them have another spell up there? Amen. I like that. Revelation chapter 6, I saw him begin to loose the seals. And when he'd opened, loosed the first seal, I beheld, and lo, there was a white horse, and it went forth conquering him to conquer. I saw the beginning of the reign of the man of sin, the Antichrist. I saw it followed by a red horse, and power was given unto him to take peace from the earth and to kill with the sword. And I saw it followed by a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And he cried, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley, and see that you hurt not the oil nor the wine. And then I beheld, and lo, when he opened the fourth seal, there was a pale horse, and death and hell followed him. And when the four horsemen of the apocalyptic vision had made their stride, one-fourth of the world's population was slain. Mister, there's a day of vengeance of our God that's yet to come on this earth. Revelation chapter 6, one-fourth of the world's population are slain. If Earth's population stands where it is tonight, it would be something like over 750 million people. If there's only 210 million or 245 million inside of the United States tonight, you think about a devastating judgment that comes in Revelation chapter 6. That's why your Bible said, pray that you may be accounted worthy. There's a day of vengeance. There's a day of reckoning. The comma has not finished. The day of judgment is yet to come. The wrath of God's revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. Revelation chapter 6, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw the souls under the altar crying, how long, O God? How long, holy and true, art thou that will judge? How long will it be until we're delivered? And he said, until thy fellow servants also be slain. I want to tell you, there may be some people saved in tribulation, and I see a revival in tribulation, but I also see them martyred. And if you haven't got what it takes to live for God now in this outpouring of the Holy Ghost, what are you going to do when the pressure's put on? The day of vengeance, the day of wrath, the day of judgment cometh. If you run with a footman and they've wearied you, what are you going to do when you run with the horses? Revelation 6, when he opened the sixth seal, I beheld, and there's a great earthquake. The sun became as black as sackcloth of hair. The moon was turned into blood. The mountains and islands were moved out of the places. The kings of the earth, the great men. I saw the heavens depart as a scroll when it's rolled together. I saw stars fall on planet earth as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. Mister, there's a day of vengeance. There's a day of reckoning. I'm preaching tonight a gospel of salvation, a gospel of redemption, a gospel of healing, a gospel that'll bind up the brokenhearted. But there's a day coming when the wrath and judgment of God will be revealed against all unrighteous. I saw the heavens depart. I saw stars fall on planet Earth like a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. Heavens departed as a scroll. Rich men, chief captains, mighty men, bondmen, and freemen cried to the rocks and the mountains and said to the rocks and the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? The rest of Isaiah will be finished. The day of vengeance of our God. The day of vengeance of our God. Revelation again, chapter 7. I saw the judgment further, and an angel stepped out and said, just a minute. We've got to have a camp meeting service. We've got the first fruits of Israel having revival. And he sealed the 144,000 that turned to God. Seems to be a parenthetical passage. For in the last part of the chapter, I saw tribulation saints. And they came out of great tribulation. And they overcame with the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Revelation 8, I saw seven trumpet angels ready to sound with seven trumpets of judgment. And about that time, one of them stepped up and said, you seven trumpet angels, wait a while. We're going to have a memorial service. And all heaven came to silence for 30 minutes. And they opened up the prayers of the saints and poured them out on the golden altar. And everything in heaven stood in reverence while the prayers of the saints were offered as a memorial unto our God. Oh, it pays to pray. There's a God that keeps a record of our prayer meeting. The first trumpet angel sounded. First trumpet angel sounded. And I beheld, and lo, I saw judgment fall on the earth by fire, by hail, by blood. One-third part of the trees were destroyed. And all green grass was destroyed. Friends, there's judgment coming upon this world. We talk about famine. We talk about 10 million starving in India. That's a drop in the bucket to the judgment that's coming upon a pleasure-seeking, licentious, sin-loving generation. And friend, it's going the only way to escape, if I'm reading my Bible right, is to be ready day and night for the trump of God to sound and the King of glory to step out and summon us. Revelation chapter 8 again. I beheld the second trumpet angel sounded. And lo, there was as a mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the ships were destroyed, and a third part of the sea was living creatures in the sea was destroyed. Judgment fell upon the sea. And then I beheld the third trumpet angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven as it was wormwood, and the rivers and the streams were polluted. Mr. God Almighty is still God forever. A generation may scoff at his holiness, may make fun of his calf cross, may laugh at his blood, but there's a day of reckoning, a day of vengeance, a day when God will bring everyone to judgment. Revelation chapter 8. Not only did a third part of the streams turn to wormwood and bitterness, but I saw a third part of the sun shone not for a third part of the day when the next trumpet angel sounded. A third part of the moon shone not for a third part of the night. And a third part of the stars shone not. Now, mister, I'm serving a God that's under control of this entire universe tonight. He has the whole business under control. The day of vengeance of our God. Revelation chapter 8 closes. And chapter 9, and when 8 closes, an angel flies out and cries, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. For reason of the three angels that are yet to sound. Judgment is coming. You haven't seen but a drop in the bucket yet. I can prove to you we're not in the great tribulation. We're not to the middle, because when Mr. Devil is cast out under the seven trumpet angels, there's still 42 months of judgment left on planet Earth. And Daniel chapter 9 said it'll only last 7 years. And Jesus said those days will be shortened or there'd be no flesh saved. We need to get ready, you ransomed of Zion. You've got the greatest invitation God ever gave a people on earth. I'm running into a lot of these tribulation saints. They're preaching they're going through the tribulation. I think the Lord will let them. Amen. If you want to preach it and stay here, I think he'll let you. But unto them that look for him, he shall appear. Hallelujah. Amen. Makes me want to shout. Revelation chapter 9, the first woe trumpet sound. And I beheld, and an angel came down with the key to the bottomless pit. When he opened the pit, out of the pit came the smoke of a furnace. And out of the smoke of the furnace came locusts. And the locusts had the sting of a scorpion as he striketh a man. And they were led by the angel of the bottomless pit. It seems to be a supernatural force. And they'll torment men for 5 months. And Revelation 9:6 says, in those days, men shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The rest of the sermon will be finished, sir, the day of vengeance of our God. Revelation again, chapter 9. And I saw the second woe angel sound, and I saw an army released, and I saw the four rivers, the four angels bound in the river Euphrates were released, and an army of 200 million. And when the second woe angel had sounded, one-third of the earth's population was slain. Mister, there's judgment lies ahead. This old world we're preaching to tonight is close to an eternal hour when God Almighty is going to reveal his mighty arm of judgment, the day of vengeance of our God. Oh, the day of vengeance. Preach it, it's the acceptable hour now, but there's a day coming when God will reveal the secrets of hearts. Revelation again. Chapter 9, and I see it come to the close. Revelation 10, an angel stands, and here's the part wasn't revealed. An angel stood with one foot on the land and sea, cried, time will be no more, and the seven thunders uttered their voices. But he said, John, don't put that in the book. Revelation 11, two preachers got a chance to come out of heaven to preach on planet Earth. Elijah, another has Enoch and Elijah. I'm convinced one of them is Elijah, but the other one may be Haskell Rogers. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said, behold, I will send Elijah. But I'm not sure who the other one is, but it doesn't matter. There's a couple Pentecostal boys have the chance to preach for 42 months on earth. They have power to call for fire from heaven. They have power to do miracles. The beast overcomes them. Their dead body lies in the street. And the Lord takes them to glory while the bunch is looking at them. He's still God and King forever. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 12 is the last trumpet angel, the seventh trumpet angel to sound, the last woe angel to sound. And I saw a war break loose in heaven. I saw Michael and his angels fight with the dragon and his angels. I saw a third part of the stars cast out. And I saw Michael prevail, and heaven had a camp meeting, but it got rid of the devil for the last time. Woo! Hallelujah! Three times they shout in Revelation in heaven. One of them, when the devil got kicked out, they started shouting. Hallelujah! Woo! I hope I'm in that bunch. I hope John saw me there. Hallelujah! And then the second time they shouted was when Babylon fell, and the third time when they got to the marriage supper is more than they could take. And they just broke loose and said, let's just shout and have a time. Glory. Glad you came early tonight to stay. I got the service early. We can preach all night tonight. Revelation again. I shout every time I read it. Revelation chapter 12, the devil's kicked out of heaven. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the accuser of your brethren. Now the devil's got a, he's not the, he certainly haven't, has not got to carry this work on by himself. He seems to have plenty of help. It doesn't take much size to criticize. Makes me want to stop and shout a while. Revelation chapter 12, the devil's cast out. Revelation 13, I saw the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the earth, the man of sin and the false prophet. I saw them come to their power. I saw the inhabitants of the earth whose names was not in the book worship the beast and his image. Revelation 15, another parenthetical passage. Revelation 16, I saw the seven last judgments of God in great tribulation. Come on, planet Earth. I saw men break out with a noise, some grievous cancerous sore. I beheld, and lo, the streams of the rivers turned to blood. The sea became as the blood of a dead man, and every living creature died. I saw fountains and rivers and streams and water systems turned to blood, and I heard an angel cry, they're worthy. They shed the blood of saints and of prophets. I saw a kingdom filled with such darkness till men gnawed their tongues for reason of the darkness. I saw the sun scorch men with heat, and they blasphemed God because of the heat. Our God still is king forever tonight, the day of vengeance of our God. I saw hailstones fall from heaven, weighing approximately 100 pounds, the day of vengeance of our God. Job said, he's reserved the hail to the day of his judgment. There's a God that sits in the heavens that's still king forever. He's still king forever. Revelation 17 opens, and I see a mystery. A woman clothed in scarlet, the great whore, the mother of harlots. And she's the back of the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. She seems to control the man of sin. And the Bible lets us know he turns on her and devours her. And it seems to be the last form of ecclesiastical system on planet Earth. And tonight the devil would be thrilled to have an apostate religion become a prominent factor in world affairs in this end time. And it already began to take shape. We see a world council of churches that scoffs at Calvary, laughs at evangelism, makes fun of the work of cross and the resurrection of the dead. May God give us a Holy Ghost revival and keep us filled with the Spirit of God till He comes. Revelation 18, the last form of political Babylon. I get amazed at the speculation in political Babylon. Everybody has them a new Babylon. I'm going to let the Lord destroy the one he wants to get rid of the worst. Hallelujah. Revelation 19, we move from political Babylon to a scene in heaven. And John said, I was there and they're having praise service. And just as I got there, they're saying, glory and honor and praise and might and dominion be unto the Lord God. Hallelujah. And they were saying hallelujah. And somebody jumped up and said, let's really have a spell. Let us be glad and rejoice. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was given a white robe, clean and white. And the white robe is the righteousness of the saint. And I heard him say hallelujah again. Do you know who that is saying hallelujah? That's us. Hallelujah. Woo! And you expect me to settle down now? Whoop! You think about having a glorified body that'll never wear out, and being in heaven in the presence of the Lamb, and beside of the marriage supper, to worship with the patriarchs of all ages, redeemed in robes of white, and to know where the second death can never touch us, where the devil can never come, and in the presence of God, and all of a sudden we break loose in hallelujah camp meeting chorus, just exactly like we feel, it's going to be camp meeting days. We was having supper. Things was rolling along pretty good. We was having time. going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Uncle Abe, how did you make it? I just kept believing God. Isaac, how did you make it? By the skin of my teeth. Hadn't been for the faith of Uncle Abe, and he hadn't prayed for me, I'd have never made it. Hallelujah. But I kept believing. I believed what Abraham of the father told me. And I believed in God, and I pulled through. I blessed Jacob. And Jacob, how'd you make it? He changed me. I was a crook, a heel grabber, a cheater, and a pole peeler. Amen. A member getter. But I got in. Hallelujah. He changed me, Ahab Peniel. And he gave me a transformation, and I got in by the change. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to say, Don, how did you make it? And I'll say, wasn't it a goodness of mine? I stand here redeemed by his grace. It's the righteousness that was imputed by the cross of Christ and the power of his resurrection that purchased my redemption full and free. You think about a freckle-faced, tow-headed boy from the plow handles, standing in Glory Avenue, redeemed with the saints of the Lamb, crowned kings and priests under God. It's enough to make a sound in heaven. Can't we? Father,
hallelujah.
I feel sorry for you big shots down here, because you're going to be last. Isn't that? High for fluting folks, big wheels down here. First show. Hallelujah. Where'd you get in, Don? First cathedral? No, I got in a Dillon schoolhouse. Amen. They just greased the floors before I got the baptism. That's back before we varnished them. You remember when we mopped them with hot linseed oil? They just mopped them, and I got the Holy Ghost. They put the oil on, I soaked it up. Ah, brother, this thing's real. Yes, it is. It's real. And we're just having camp meeting in heaven. We're just about to have a spell up there. And he got up, and trouble broke loose on planet Earth, and the man of sin had Abraham's kids shoved over in the land of Edom, had them between a rock and a hard place, and it looked like he's going to wipe them out, and looks like God's covenant with Abraham wasn't going to stand, and looked like God had forgotten, and they called on him. Hallelujah. Word got in Glory, and the man of sin came with his army. For in Revelation 16, I saw him bring that whole host from the east. And I saw him come down from the north, Ezekiel 38. I saw the whole bunch gather on that little country called Jerusalem. It looked like they were going to wipe them out. And the man of sin said, I'm strong enough now. I've got the kings of the east. I've got Russia. I've got the whole business with me. I'll declare war on the Lamb. I'd take on Jesus Christ himself. And word got in Glory that he took on more than he could bargain. Now, you may be able to battle somebody else, but when you take him on, you're in for trouble. He got up from the banquet room and said, say, saints, I've got to go back to Earth. I've got you a supersonic steed. You can ride a white horse and go with me. You won't have to fight. You're the bride. But I'm going to go back, and if you want to go back with me, they're having a little scrimmage down there, and it looks like they're gathered in Valley of Jehoshaphat, and they're there by the untold numbers, and I've gathered them for this hour, and I'm going to judge them, and we come across the Milky Way, shout, oh, God. For you that rationalize, I hate to tell you how it's going to happen. But we're coming back with the King, and he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for he alone will reign supreme. He's the stone hewn out with our hands.
You don't need to send to Del Rio and get a book on who's going to win Armageddon. I can tell you in one word, my Jesus. Hallelujah. No use giving a dollar for a book. There's just one person. I won't even have to fight. We're going to skip through the heavens, gallop through the heavens on a white horse, shouting glory while he wins. And then you feel sorry for me because I got in this. Save your sympathy, sir. That's why I died down the road feeling sorry for senators and representatives and governors and big shots. When you can be a Pentecostal preacher, brother. My. That's the way I feel. Hallelujah. When you can be back. Bless the Lamb out of Zion. Bless the Lamb out of Zion. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory,
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the King. Blessed be the name of our Lord. Praise the 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 Lord.
It's about time. This is a filling station for that grand gathering on the other side. Brother Blankel, I'm saved and I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. But I came to camp and I want God to turn a keg of honey over in my soul. I need a refreshing in the Holy Ghost. I need a renewing in the Spirit. My soul cries out for the touch of God. My heart longs after Him. I came to camp meeting this year at Lubbock, and I need my soul to just be re-anointed with the Holy Ghost. Would you slip your hands up and come and stand down here tonight? I'd like for a camp meeting to break loose in the heart of that person that's all you're saved. You've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, but you came to camp meeting saying, I've just got to have a Holy Ghost camp meeting in my soul. That's why we're here, folks. This is a refresher. This is a days of refreshing. These are days of refreshing.